Today's music begins with two hymns on the chimes in reference to today's gospel reading. God, whose giving knows no ending, and take my life. Next is the tune Kremser, set to the text We Praise You, O God, first in a piano prelude, arranged by John Carter, and second as the opening hymn. Today's anthem is a recent recording of the socially distanced St. John's United Ringers with Arnold Sherman's setting of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, chosen in reference to today's reading from 1 Thessalonians. The hymn after the sermon is Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ, and the postlude is an original work titled Processional by the British composer C.S. Lang. As you hear the postlude and begin your week, you'll hear a lively processional, an almost mischievous middle section, and a return to the processional once again.
As we prepare now to enter into our time of worship, let me remind you that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. And as always, I invite you to join with me in taking a deep, slow breath. Breathe in God's closeness. Breathe in God's presence wherever you may be. And as you are breathing in that calm, strengthening, comforting presence, take time to breathe out that which is causing perhaps anxiety or stress or worry or fear. Let us trust God to be with us in this time, giving us what we need to face what lies ahead. And as we do so, I invite you to be with me as we reflect on this morning's theme, extravagant opportunity. Extravagant is a big word, not just because it contains several letters and syllables, but also because its meaning suggests bigness. Whether we are talking about extravagant love, extravagant welcome, extravagant generosity, extravagant forgiveness, or extravagant opportunity, we are talking about behaviors or actions that are big, over the top, beyond what one would expect. Yes, I do know the word extravagant also carries with it negative connotations. Extravagance suggests spending that is unnecessary or unwise, and implies that one's response has been excessive. While I certainly recognize the downside of being extravagant, I must tell you that every day I celebrate and give thanks for the fact that ours is an extravagant God. A God who loves us when we act and feel unlovable. A God who welcomes us with open arms when we have done nothing to deserve that welcome. A God who provides for us far more than we need and forgives us and forgets our sins over and over again. A God who gives us countless opportunities to make the most of the life that has been entrusted to our care. How we choose to respond to God's extravagance matters. Seeking to emulate the one in whose image we were created, we come now to worship, to learn, to grow, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As we confess our sins, I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession. The words may be found on our Facebook page and on our website. If you do not have those words within reach, we simply invite you to join us in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Extravagant God, when it comes to love, grace, forgiveness, welcome, generosity, and opportunity, your response to us is always over the top. You give us more than we deserve, eager that we in turn might do the same as we encounter fellow travelers along the way. Forgive us, O God, for our tight-fisted response to others, for failing to demonstrate the same spacious graciousness that you bestow upon us daily. May we recognize the opportunities for extravagance you place before us as opportunities to be seized and shared with abandon, so that the darkness of this world might be shattered by the light of your love. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, we do know that God's gift of forgiveness is generous, abundant, extravagant. May we embrace it in all of its fullness. May we allow it to change our lives. May we share it with abandon with others. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. And our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is as a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, he gave 1, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to who all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Challenging words, certainly, and we do, as always, pray for God's wisdom to help enlighten us in regards to those words. And now a word for our children. How many of you have a piggy bank? Even if it's not in the shape of a pig, I'll bet you most have a special place where you store birthday money or an allowance or maybe even just coins you find in the couch cushions. The point of a bank, either one that your parents go to in town or one that you keep on your dresser for spare change, is to be a safe place to store your money so that, one, nobody else takes it, and two, you don't spend it without thinking. When it comes to money, we are told to save it and to be careful with it. The world tells us that the more we have stored up, the richer we will be and the better off we are. But the Bible has some other ideas about what it is that makes us truly rich and what we should do with what we have been given. The story we just read today is from the book of Matthew, and it's called the Parable of the Talents. A parable is a type of story Jesus would tell to teach his followers a lesson. There is always something, in fact, often many things, to learn when Jesus tells a parable. Jesus' stories often have more than one meaning. For example, this story is about talents, which in the time of the Bible meant a super large amount of money. Today, a talent might be worth something like $1 million. A talent in this story can also mean our gifts or abilities, which is what we know the word talent to mean today. Some special and amazing ability that God gives to you. I know that each and every one of you have talents because I've seen you use them in church or in school or in our community. Jesus begins his parable like this. A man decides to go on a long trip. So he calls his servants and asks them to take care of his house and his stuff and his money. The man decided to give one servant 5 talents of money. Let's say that's about $5 million. To another, he gave 2 talents, or $2 million, and to the last servant, he gave 1 talent. The man left on his trip, and the servants each did something with the money they received. The man with the 5 talents went right away and used his money and got 5 more talents. The man with the 2 talents also used his money and gained 2 more talents. But the man with the 1 talent took his talent and buried it in the ground to keep it safe. He didn't even try to do something with it. Now, if we're thinking like we do when we're putting money in our piggy banks, we might think that that last man made the best choice. He didn't take risks, he saved his money, and he kept it safe. But another way to look at it is that he also didn't share it. When the man returned from his trip, he praised the 2 men who used their talents and multiplied them, but he was disappointed with the one who didn't touch the talents that he had been given. It might seem a little bit confusing, and it kind of is, but Jesus wants us to think differently about the gifts he gives us, like special talents and abilities, than we do about things the world values, like money. I think the point Jesus was trying to make is that gifts and talents are meant to be used and shared and multiplied. Even though saving money is important and responsible, money isn't the only gift we have been given. And when it comes to other kinds of gifts, like our time and our talents, we aren't meant to store them up and keep them for ourselves. Even though this scripture lesson seems like it's all about money and financial gain, it really is about so much more than that. God has given each of us many unique and wonderful gifts, and we are expected to use them to multiply God's love in the world. This isn't always easy, but one of the best ways to start using and sharing our gifts and talents is simply to recognize them and thank God for them. In your carryout connection box this week, you're going to make your very own thanks bank. Fold your white piece of paper to create your white square bank. With the markers or with anything you've got at home, color and decorate it any way you choose. Then, on the wooden coins we provided, I know they're really small, so you could also use strips of paper if you need more space, write or draw things that make your life rich. Not in the financial sense, but the people, places, things, and talents in your life that you value and love. Put the coins in your thanks bank as a symbol of what real fortune is and what it truly means to be fortunate. A thanks bank isn't a place to store all your gifts and talents to keep them safe and protected. It is a place from which to give. A full thanks bank means that we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to share with others. Our thanks banks are full and our lives are rich because of how much God loves us, and we are called to share that love to enrich the lives of others. If you ever need a reminder of how truly rich you are, pull the coins out of your bank and read them, add more coins to your bank, and most importantly, give them away and share them with those around you. Let's join together in prayer, and then we will close, as always, by praying our Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. God, thank you for filling up our thanks banks each and every day, and for making our lives so very rich in ways that have nothing to do with money. Remind us that the only richness that is real and forever is the richness that comes from your love, from the gifts and talents you have given us, and from giving those gifts away and sharing them with those around us. As we do our best to identify our special talents, help us to see them and use them in ways that point back to you. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.